Good morning, brothers and sisters. Today, as we celebrate the first Sunday of the season of Advent, we need to remember that for us as Catholics, this is the beginning of our liturgical year. There's like a Chinese New Year and a New Year in regards to just secular dates in January, but this is the Catholic New Year. It begins today. And like all New Years, there's a strong tradition among peoples that they try to start the year off with a bang. They want to have some good intentions, start running every day like you said you would, or going on that diet, or reading a book once a month, whatever it is, right? There's always some good intention you have to start off the new year. And why do we do this as people? And it's common regardless of religion or country. It's because we know that at the beginning of anything, how well you begin, the intentions that you have will affect the rest of whatever you're doing. So you want to begin your year well because there's a good chance you're not going to finish it well. So at least we begin it well and increase our odds. It's also true even in regards to storytelling. If you have a really good introduction, a really good beginning of the story, you catch people's attention. And they're more willing to read the rest of the story, to work their way through. So beginnings are extremely important, especially for us as Catholics, because we know that the liturgical year is all about not only keeping us close to Jesus, but getting us ready for his second coming. Right? So every year we celebrate the same cycle of liturgical year, so that when he comes in glory, whenever that may be, we'll be ready for him. And it makes sense that we want to get ourselves ready. Why? Jesus tells us very clearly in the gospel today. Because it's a terrible day. It'll be so frightening when Jesus comes again in glory, he says, that just in anticipation of his coming, people will die of fright. I mean, that's pretty scary. He says, but for you who are ready, stand erect. Don't be afraid. Your redemption is now at hand. But he does warn us we need to do several things so as not to fall away, so as not to mess up the good progress that we've made through his grace. He says, beware of such things like carousing and drunkenness. Carousing is basically partying, and drunkenness, and the anxieties of daily life. So I'm hoping that most of you aren't out carousing and getting drunk. If you are, please go to confession. But one thing that does often affect you is the anxieties of daily life. Just the normal responsibilities that we have in our family and on our work, for our vocations, we become so anxious about these things, and they can, as Jesus says, distract us from what is most important, his second coming, and that we, as individuals and as a community, are prepared when he comes. He says that the day of his coming will assault everyone. I like that word. It will assault you. It's not going to come up nice and quiet and say, hey, by the way, I'm here now. You know, that was Jesus' first coming. The fathers tell us he came first in silence, in humility, gently and quietly. But when he comes again in glory, it will be in power. And as I preached last week, that will be shocking for many. But we don't want to be shocked by that coming. So we need to get ourselves ready to face him. And we do that primarily by considering how we begin things. Not just the new year itself, the new Catholic liturgical year, but as Catholics, there's a very basic thing that we do every time we begin a prayer. It's pretty much universal. It's the sign of the cross. It's something all of us know very well, and hopefully we've done it thousands, if not tens of thousands, if not millions of times, depending on how old you are. But how often, when you make the sign of the cross, do you think about what you're doing? If that's the beginning of your prayer or the beginning of your work, you make the sign of the cross, how often do you actually think about it? Or is it just one of those things you do out of habit? It may be a good habit, but is your mind on some other topic or on something else? You see, if I'm beginning prayer with the sign of the cross and I'm not actually thinking about what it means and what I'm doing, then it's very likely I'm just going to be as distracted during the prayer itself I didn't begin it well. It's no surprise I don't focus during the rest of it. So it's something I want you to work on this Advent, is when you make the sign of the cross, to do it conscientiously, to actually think about what you're doing and why you're doing it. And I'm not expecting you to figure all that out on your own. Some of it's pretty obvious. I'm going to tell you what you're supposed to be thinking, right, when you make the sign of the cross. It's a simple thing, but it's so important because it is the beginning of all that we do as Catholics. So obviously, when we make the sign of the cross, there are two elements to this ritual sign. There's the physical movement of your hand, you touch your head, you touch your stomach, your left shoulder, and then your right shoulder. Obviously, that is the sign of the cross itself, and we know that this sign is to remind us of what Jesus did to save us from our sins. Every time we make that sign, we should at least briefly think of the crucifixion and death of our Lord that saves us from sin. But what you might not realize is when you make the sign of the cross in this form, you're also symbolizing something theological about the way God comes to us. You see, we know that God is in heaven. It's one of the basic teachings. But we also know that he sent his Son down to earth. And after his Son ascended back to the Father, the Son sent the Holy Spirit out into the world. It's basic theology 101. But when you physically make the sign of the cross, you're actually symbolizing those very things. When you say in the name of the Father and touch your head, you can think about the fact that God is in heaven. He is above. But then he sends his Son down to earth. It's when you touch your stomach and say in the name of the Son. And then when you touch your left and then your right shoulder and say in the name of the Holy Spirit, you can remember that Christ sent the Holy Spirit out into the world, in a sense, in all directions. So it's beautiful, not just the physical sign that represents the death of Jesus, but the movement of your hand symbolizes the very theology of how God loves us. But the sign itself is not enough. There are words that accompany this sign. In the name of. How often have you thought about just that initial introduction? In the name of. You say that at the beginning of every time. What you're about to do after you make the sign of the cross is in the name of God. Think about that. What am I about to pray? Even if it's just driving somewhere and I make the sign of the cross, just asking the Lord's blessing on my driving, that driving, going to the grocery store, whatever you're doing it in the name of God. And if I really think about that, because I've made the sign of the cross, then it will hopefully help me to keep my mind and heart on the right thing, that I'm doing this for the Lord. I'm doing this for the Lord in his name. And not just the name of any God. That's why we clarify what God we're talking about. In which God? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. That's our God, a holy trinity, a divine family of persons. So all of this in just one simple Catholic sign. And you can think about all or any of these elements every time you make the sign of the cross. And if we put that little extra effort when we do this very common action, then we'll begin to notice that the rest of our efforts after that good beginning are oftentimes more efficacious. Now, a good rule I generally teach is that when you make the sign of the cross, this doesn't count. Okay? Oh, it's on the high here. I mean, really? What are you hiding from? I knew a sister, religious sister, when I was growing up, and she would always teach the very young children in faith formation. And when she would teach them how to make the sign of the cross, she would do it in a very exaggerated way. She'd say to the children, okay, in the name of the Father, and she'd stand on her tippy toes. And then she'd be like, in the name of the Son, and she'd reach down and touch her toes. In the name of the Holy Spirit. And she'd extend her hand out as far as it could go. And I asked her one day, sister, why do you do this? She goes, well, do you know how people usually have make these small signs of the crosses? I figure by the time they're teenagers, it'll be a normal size. This is good advice. Now, again, you don't have to make some exaggerated sign of the cross, but do it properly. What are you afraid of? That somebody may see you profess your faith? Again, it's a beautiful sign. It's the sign of our salvation and our faith. So do it bravely and do it well. But there's another sign as well that we do as Catholics that can become very habitual, which is a good thing. It's good to have these kind of habits, but we don't always think about what it means and what should be in our mind and heart when we do it. And that's the genuflection. You know, when you come into the church and you genuflect, you go down on one of your knees before our Lord, before you enter the pew and sit down or kneel. This is a very ancient practice for us as Catholics. Any time that we enter the true presence of our Lord, or when we're leaving, this act of genuflection, you've probably done so many times in your life, you don't even really think about it anymore, which is a good thing. Although I'll tell you some funny stories. Because as Catholics, we have this great habit of genuflection. Sometimes we do it when we shouldn't. And one of my favorite stories was told to me by an old priest, Father Serafin Mihalenko, and he was in his 70s when I knew him, but he was a member of this community that lived in Washington, D.C., and when he first joined the community and was a young brother back in the 40s and 50s, there was a Catholic movie theater, there was a movie theater owned by a Catholic right kind of downtown in Washington, D.C., and on solemnities, the owner would close it to the public and allow religious brothers and sisters and priests to come free to watch any movies that they wanted. So it's a pretty neat deal. So he and the other brothers would usually get permission, and they'd go 30 minutes early to whatever showing, whatever movie they wanted to see, and they would sit in the very back row. And they would do this on purpose because they loved watching all of the priests and religious brothers and sisters walk down the aisle to look for a seat and then genuflect before they sit down. That's a really good habit, right? I mean, they're just so used to walking down aisles and genuflecting, they don't even think about it. And so they would sit there in the back and laugh and make fun of all of them while they did this. I always thought this was a funny story, except for one day. So this is a second story. I had been invited by some friends when I lived near Pittsburgh to go see a Christmas concert held in a beautiful Lutheran cathedral, just absolutely gorgeous, in Pittsburgh. And so we got all dressed up, you know, suit and tie and everything. I was really excited to go during the season of Advent. And we get there, and it's this beautiful, I mean, it's just a beautiful church, absolutely beautiful. And we're walking in down the aisle, and I'm quietly talking to my friends about how beautiful this church is. And I think this was a fair mistake on my part. I began to genuflect out of habit because I wasn't even paying attention. I knew our Lord wasn't there. I knew I shouldn't have genuflected, but I started doing it. So as I was halfway down, I realized what I was doing. And I was so embarrassed I was about to genuflect in a Lutheran church, I threw myself to the ground and acted like I tripped. So I figured I'd be less embarrassed by that. So it happens. At times when we do these things so habitually, which is good, we don't always think about it and what it means. So what should I be considering every time I genuflect? What should be in my mind and on my heart? Well, to understand that, you have to understand where the symbol, the sign, came from. It was very common practice in ancient times that when you entered the court, when you entered the presence of the king and queen, you would genuflect. It was a sign of submission before the earthly ruler. And at those times, it was fairly typical to genuflect on your left knee. Now, the church realized this is a beautiful sign. It's a beautiful sign. Why don't we start doing that for Jesus? Because when we come into his court and his sanctuary, he's physically present. And so we should make a similar sign of submission, of humility before him, recognizing his authority over us. And so we started genuflecting in his presence. But instead of on the left knee, which was typically for royalty, earthly rulers, Catholics would genuflect on the right knee for Jesus. So right knee for God, left knee for earthly rulers. Now that rule doesn't apply. You can genuflect on either knee anymore. Now you can. But the symbol has been carried on to the present day because we believe very simply that Christ is our king. Isn't that what we just celebrated? And if he is our ruler, then we should humble ourselves in his presence. We should submit to that rule. And the sign and the symbol of that submission is the genuflection. It's not just a way of saying hello to Jesus. You can do that many ways. It's a physical act whereby you bow in his presence. Oftentimes, Catholics who are coming into the church when Jesus is exposed in the Blessed Sacrament will actually go down on both knees. There's no law requiring that, but they want to make an even more humble act of submission. You know, normally when you bow your head and lower yourself before a person, you're submitting to them. Even animals do this. My cats sometimes will roll over when they want something. Unlike a dog that just wants to be petted, you know, the cat is trying to submit because it wants food or something else. So this act that we, please don't roll over when you come into the church to see Jesus. I'm not suggesting that. But follow the tradition and think about it when you do it. Say to yourself, Lord, I submit. I humble myself in your presence. It's such a beautiful thing that we do. It's a beautiful habit that we have. And so even though these are two very small initial ways in which we enter into prayer and into our Lord's presence, since they are the beginning, the first things that we should be doing them well, to the best of our ability, so that for whatever we do after, our heart and our mind would be in the right place. So during this season of Advent in which we begin the liturgical year, I want you to focus on these two things in particular. When you make the sign of the cross and when you genuflect, do your best to think about what it means and what you mean by it. If it's helpful, ask your guardian angel to remind you. You know, again, we get distracted. There are many anxieties in daily life as Jesus speaks to us about. But these small things done well, done with love, can obtain great graces for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.